Welcome friends to Literature Mantra. I'm Harsh Singh, and in this audio we will discuss the aims of translation studies. Now the primary aim of translation studies is twofold. Firstly, in the process of translation, the meaningful effect of the original language or text is meaningfully carried forward in the target language or text. In other words, when translating from one medium of communication to another, the sense of the original source is reproduced in the target source. When a text is translated, the medium of the text is changed, but content which creates the value of the text is retained in the target text. The translator creates alternative mode of expression in order to add dynamism to the effect of the text which the text produces. So in short, while translating, retaining the sense of the original text or original language text. For example, if I am translating from English to Hindi, trying to retain the sense which was conveyed. Secondly, translation aims to expand the horizon of knowledge through multilingual fertilization. As knowledge is produced in different languages and in different points of time, the translation is the only method through which the translation of knowledge takes place. For example, when a text is produced in some language and the reader from some other stream of language cannot get access to the text, the translation is the only getaway to the accessibility or the only mechanism to access that original text. Translation promises a significant increase in readership and expands the number, allowing more and more readers to be touched by the author's text. For writers whose first language is limited in terms of how many people speak it, translation is indispensable for achieving an audience of considerable size. It asserts the possibility of a coherent, unified experience of knowledge in the world's multiplicity of languages and cultures, and thus translation aims at the universalizing of the horizon of knowledge. So second aim of translation studies is to expand the horizon of knowledge through multilingual fertilization. So suppose if there is somebody in Europe who wants to access literature of India, the ancient literatures of India, especially the Sanskrit literature or the vernacular literature of India, then they will get it translated from Hindi or Sanskrit or some other vernacular language of India into English. So even the authors benefit by increased readership, as well as the people of Europe or the readership of Europe will get access to new ideas. For instance, in Indian tradition, there is something called Anekantvad, and if we were to literally translate it, it would mean many-sidedness of truth, right? And then there is also a very famous thing in Indian culture of dharma. What is dharma? If these concepts reach the West, which of course they have already, then even people there or the readers there can access these new perspectives. Because in Europe, or let's say in European languages, or let's say in English, there is no equivalent of the word dharma. There is no such thing as Anekantvad. There can be approximations, but there is no exact equivalent. Because this is something intrinsically connected with Indian culture, Indian way of thinking, that truth is many, many-sidedness of the truth. And the concept of dharma is very much integrated in the Indian psyche, especially, you know, because it has an ancient origin, you know, it dates back to the period of the Mahabharata, or let's say even earlier. So all these words, these ideas just add to our knowledge. Till the time a text is just in Sanskrit or Indian vernacular language, only we have access to it. But if these ideas can go to the West, even through translation, at least they will get a hang of it, that what does dharma mean? What is Anekantvad? So instead of insisting that there is only one truth, they can now say that, you know, the relativity of truth or many-sidedness of truth, right? So this is the second aim of translation studies, to expand the horizon of knowledge through multilingual fertilization. And also it increases readership. After that, the act of translation also aims to be a creative act. Meenakshi Mukherjee makes a right observation that the act of translation is voluntary, which is the material has been chosen by the translator himself and the prime mover is a compelling desire to recreate. She also says that the translator is a writer in the language in which he is translating. That is, his handling of the language is not merely competent but creative. Moreover, it is rightly been observed that the best translation is one which does not read like translation at all, but it is something which creates excitement, joy of a voyage of discovery, normally associated with the original work. And as a critic deconstructs the text and then reconstructs it, so a translator decodes a source language text and recodes it in the target language. If criticism has become creative, as it not only interprets the text but extends the meaning of it, then similar is the case with translation, as translation is a creative act, as it recreates the source language text in a new way in the target language. So this idea of translation being a creative act is one of the goals or aims of translation studies. Now, translation aims to be a linguistic bridge building factor. Translation without the medium of language is unthinkable. The literary translation faces problem as it uses different languages as its medium of expression. In non-literary translation, the medium is again language. Human beings communicate amongst themselves through language, but different people speak different languages in different parts of the world. That is why the translation is of vital importance for the purpose of communication among people of different races, cultures, and faiths all over the world, and thus translation builds bridges among different languages of the world. So this is also one of the aims of translation studies, of acting like a linguistic bridge building bridges between different communities, different languages. Translation also contributes to the growth of language, because when there is linguistic transportation and recreation of words and meanings, translation helps to bring dynamism to this fluid movement of language. Translation brings new words and restructures meanings and tries to understand the text from different body of language. There are languages which are becoming extinct because they are not being translated and kept updated. For example, from the point of view of vocabulary and literature in general. And in the age of globalization and technology, vernacular languages or languages that are not spoken as much face challenges. As nowadays, there are some languages in the world that are being adopted by most people. However, translation aims to make language more dynamic in its constant growth and recreation, as the cultural and social phenomena of the world are expanding. And not only this, but through translation, languages can be kept alive. Of course, translation can't become a substitute for the development of a language's particular literature, but translation can help in popularizing languages and at least prevent it from being extinct or getting extinct. Then cultural transmission is an important goal of translation studies. And since languages have differences in terms of form and structure, translation acts as a kind of bridge between different cultures and languages. It remarkably aims at bridging different and diverse cultures, as different peoples from different parts of the world mingle and share their cultural uniqueness, and their sharing and transmitting of cultures is only possible through the intralingual, interlingual and intersemiotic translation. And translation brings one culture in contact with another culture, and this helps in the growth of culture. The cultural transmission is also a modern phenomena by which people enrich their understanding of the world, as translation studies at large aims at. So this goal of cultural transmission is also an important goal of translation studies, or one of the aims of translation studies. Because as we all know, language is a carrier of culture. And if language can be transmitted, even though through translation, cultural transmission can also happen along with it. The transmission of languages and cultures further leads to the phenomena of globalization, which translation also aims to create. The globalization in terms of communication, knowledge production, commercial trade and industry, and entertainment has been possible through the act of translation. And in today's world, the people of different cultural, linguistic, religious, racial and national identities have been able to come in one platform and transcend beyond nations and borders. And it is translation which has created the global village, where anyone can talk and share ideas with anyone from any corner of the world. And in terms of knowledge production and consumption, translation has made it possible that language is no longer a barrier for sharing knowledge and universalizing it. So as earlier I gave the example of, you know, these two important terms which we always read in India or hear in India or in Indian literature, of dharma and anekantvad. So through the process of translation, all of this can be, this knowledge can be shared with even, let's say, those people who may not be Indian, or those people who may not be aware of these things in Indian culture. So this is one of the aims of translation studies. Then the discipline of translation studies also aims at nation building. In the 21st century context of national development, translation is considered as a significant aspect and component of language learning. Okay, translation. As the world is becoming globalized and internet is facilitating the communication system at great length, the importance of translation has widened beyond expectation. At the national level, translation helps in bringing out national integration, and at the international level, it helps in improving good relations among neighboring countries and bilateral relationships. In a way, translation helps the people in their effort at nation building and establishing the national identity. And I think this fact of nation building can't be realized as much as it is in India, because India itself is a multilingual country, and had it not been for the process of translation, nobody would have access to, let's say, Sanskrit literature. Because nowadays, very few people know Sanskrit. Very few people speak Sanskrit. And then there are so many vernacular languages in India, which have a very rich literature. And we won't be able to access that literature unless we translate it into a language that is understood by most people. Of course, English nowadays is understood. But there are other languages which many other people speak. So, translating in a language which is understood by most people, it helps in appreciating the literature of a different language. And one of the aims of translation is to bring about forms of representation. People produce their cultural and linguistic works in their vernacular modes of expression and translate them into another mode of expression in order to register their voices or stories of life in wider public domain. And through translating their voices or narratives, they form their own representation. The marginalized sections of people of a particular country translate their works from vernacular to the mainstream languages for broad appeal to their marginalized narratives. So, if the literature of marginalized communities has a larger audience, it just aims at creating a different form of representation. There will be more representation. So, in this way, translation empowers marginalized communities by making their narratives known to the wider public. Now, after that, translation also aims to be a work of collaborative authorship. The translator is in a very important position in defining the translated piece of work, because the translation process does not merely carry the meaning of the author, but it also carries the agenda of the translator, in the sense that the translator translates the text through his understanding and interpretation of the terms and conditions, and thus translator functions as collaborative author, and translation can be called a work of collaborative authorship in that sense. Because as I said earlier, that in the process of translation, a certain amount of creativity is also required. And yes, as it happens with any human being, no matter how unbiased we are, we all view realities, issues in the world, be it social, be it economic, be it political, with some filters, some lenses. And knowingly or unknowingly, it does get reflected in our work, be it the work of a writer writing a piece of work or a translator translating a piece of work. So, in that sense, translation can be called a work of collaborative authorship.